talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good Monday to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you had a great weekend. Current weather right now is 79 degrees. Dew point is 54. Humidity is 43. The winds are out of the south, gusting up to the whole 11 miles an hour. And I will have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you later on in the show, so don't go anywhere so you can hear that. Let's check out some area temperatures, see who's the hot spot. Looks like way up in the panhandle is 83 degrees. Last week they were the coolest. This week they look like they're the hottest right now. But we'll start at Arnett at 76, saying hello to one of my good friends up there, Rocky Whitson. Camargo 79, Butler 79, Hobart's 80, Mangum's 80, Hollis is 81, and Altus is the hot spot in our listening area on the Oklahoma side of the state line at a whole whopping 81 degrees. So hope everybody got a rain Friday night. There's a lot of great rains in the area, so that's two rains that most of our listening area has got in the past previous week. And there is some wheat shooting up like weeds. I mean, the wheat pasture is looking great. Keep an eye on it. And the grass is even greened up just a little bit more. I'm going to have a little chit-chat with Miss Lacey Swope, our Channel 9 meteorologist that'll be on the show tomorrow. She's got over her stomach flu, so she's it's hunting season, and she's all over social media trying to check out stories. But she reported that the most rain received Friday night, Saturday morning was at Willow, Oklahoma, at 1.58 inches. Well, I'm just a few miles west of there, and I barely got a half inch, and I'm not complaining, but we're going to have to update her on some of her technology, because I think there was some more areas around here got higher amounts of rain. But, you know, they just go off what that was off the mezzanette, and you know how technology is. But no, it's a great weekend. Got a good rain. I got an inch at my house Friday night. Went to traveling down I-40 to the west into the Texas Panhandle Saturday to meet some of them great people from Shamrock at the Shamrock Country Club to play the Route 66 Ryder Cup that's between Sayre and Shamrock. And we all dressed, all except for the Bobby Martin. We all was in OU red. Bobby was in some kind of fluorescent pink or orange. I don't know. You'll have to get on Facebook and just take my word for it. It was some kind of funky color. But anyway, we maintained the Ryder Cup trophy, and we brought it back to the Oklahoma side of the state line. So that was all good. Went to check cattle yesterday. Cows are looking good. Flies are still around. FYI, I had a good buddy over there not too far from our house. Lost about 15-20 acres of rye pasture in the last 2 or 3 days to grasshoppers. So they're still there. The grasshoppers are there. I haven't got any reports of any army worms. I hope I don't get any reports of army worms, but there's always a good chance. And it looks like this upcoming week looks great. There should be some wheat pasture growing good. Later on in the week, we're supposed to get back in the 90s, but I think that's supposed to be short-lived. Next Monday, I think, is our next chance of moisture in the state. But I have, before I get to our grain report, we've got a lot of hot news from the weekend, over the weekend. Two sisters, and don't be offended by this joke, because I'm a blonde. So two sisters, one blonde and one brunette, inherited this family ranch. Unfortunately, after just a few years, they were in financial trouble. In order to keep the bank from repossessing the ranch, they needed to purchase a bull from the stockyards in a far town so they could breed their own stock. They only had $600 left. Upon leaving, the brunette tells her sister, "When I get there, if I decide to buy the bull, I'll contact you to drive out after me and haul it home." So the brunette arrives at the stockyard, inspects the bull, and decides she wants to buy it. The man tells her that he will sell it to her for $599, no less. After paying him, she drives to the nearest town to send her sister a telegram to tell her the news. She walks into the telegram office and says, "I want to send a telegram to my sister telling her that I bought a bull for our ranch. I need her to hitch up the trailer in our pickup and drive out here so we can haul it home." The telegraph operator explains that he'll be glad to help her, then adds, "It's just 99 cents a word." Well, after paying for the bull, the brunette only had $1 left. She realizes she'll only be able to send her sister one word. So after thinking for a few minutes, she nods and says, "I want to send her one word, comfortable." The operator shakes his head. "How is she ever going to know that you want her to hitch the trailer to your pickup and drive out here to haul the bull back to your ranch if you send her the word comfortable?" The brunette explains, "My sister's blonde. The word's really big. She'll read it very slowly, and it'll say, come for the bull." Anyway, that's the joke of the week on our show today. I thought that was pretty good. Anyway, so we got soybean futures lower in overnight trading. Soybeans were lower in overnight trading and harvest pressure as U.S. growers continue to collect their crops. 16% of the crop was in the bin at the start of the week last week, ahead of the prior five-year average, 13% for this time last year, according to the USDA. The soybean crop was rated 58% good or excellent as of September 26, unchanged week to week. About 18% of the U.S. corn crop was in the bin as of last Sunday, ahead of the average of 15%, the agency said. About 59% of the crop earned top ratings. The USDA is scheduled to update its weekly progress report this afternoon. Also weighing in on the prices this morning are signs of ample carryout. Soybean inventories at the start of September were reported at 256 million bushels, according to the USDA last week. While that's down 51% year over year, analysts polled by Rutgers have been expecting carryout of 174 million bushels. Corn stockpiles on September 1st totaled 1.24 billion bushels, down 36% from the same date a year earlier, but well ahead of the 1.16 billion bushels forecast by analysts. Wheat stocks, however, came in at 1.78 billion bushels, down 18% from the previous year, and behind expectations for inventories of 1.85 billion bushels, according to the USDA. Underpinning prices. Soybean futures for November fell 9.25 cents to 12.37. At the Chicago Board of Trade, soy meal lost 40 cents to $326.50 a short ton, while soy oil declined 0.6 cents to $58.22 a pound. Corn futures for December delivery declined 1.5 cents to $5.40 a bushels. Wheat futures for December delivery rose 3/4 to $7.56 a bushel, while Kansas City futures fell 2.75 to $7.56¾ a bushel. Our Oklahoma cash prices today, I looked up, soybeans are $11.62 a bushel. Wheat's at $7.13, so it's up considerably from last Friday. Corn is $5.51. Milo is $5.21 a bushel. Money managers raised their net long positions or bets on higher prices in both corns and beans last week. Investors held a net 235,044 corn future contracts as of September 28th. That's up 199,943 contracts a week earlier, and the largest such position since August 31st. Improved demand for U.S. supplies may have led investors to become more positive on prices. And wheat, meanwhile, fund managers and other large investors held a raised bullish bets in hard red winter wheat futures to a net 45,617 future contracts as of last week. That's up from 38,656 contracts from the week earlier. Money managers will still bearish on soft red winter wheat, however, raising their net short positions on bets of lower prices. 12,900 future contracts last week. That's up from 9,828 contracts the previous week. It's all I got on the grains right there, but I do have a little bit of report on how things are coming along on the harvest. And matter of fact, there was some peanut digging going on in Beckham County yesterday. So somebody's ready. And I'm sure I missed it, but there's somebody else probably digging somewhere else. But I seen Chad and Coulter out digging on some nuts out there along Highway 34 going south across the river bridge towards Willow. But they were digging yesterday. I don't know how much they got dug, but they started. And looks like it's that time of the year. Cotton is looking awesome everywhere. I know there's some spots that looks like it's not too bueno, but the cotton I've seen in my travels between Hobart and Roger Mills County the other day, there's some pretty good-looking cotton out there. But October has arrived, and the harvest of the U.S. corn crop is picking up steam. Both harvest progress and corn at maturity are ahead of the respective five-year averages, seeing favorable increases each week. Weather during September of last month was generally conducive for crop progress and maturity. According to the data from the Weather Trends 360, September was the sixth warmest and the 10th driest in 30 years for the Corn Belt, including down in to the southern part of the plains. A whole trending both warmer and drier than normal on average, an area from southern Minnesota to northern Missouri and east into Wisconsin and northern Illinois trended much drier than normal during the month, with portions of this area receiving less than 1 inch of monthly rainfall. Similar dry conditions were noted in central Oklahoma and northern Texas, bringing new drought conditions in that area. The first full week of October in the Corn Belt will bring continued dry weather to the region. The northern plains will see the greatest departure from normal this week as temperatures trend on 10 to 15 degrees Fahrenheit above normal. And that drought map looks still pretty bad, especially up north and out west. If you guys follow any of that weather, the Dakotas, Wyoming, Montana, parts of Idaho, Washington, Oregon, California, Arizona, Utah, parts of New Mexico, it's still really dry, and now they're probably just going to have to depend on snow cover and some meltdown for next spring to get them rivers going, because there's farmers and ranchers struggling in some of those areas that can't get any water to their crops or their cattle. And if you've been paying attention to the show the last couple of months, there's been a lot of sell-off going on up there. Speaking of that, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction is happening right now over there on the east side of Clinton along I-40 by the Cherokee Trading Post exit. Get on over there, get you a good meal, go see how the cattle are doing. And then this coming Wednesday, the Hobart Stockyards will be having their sale, and we will keep you up to date on those sale prices. I will have you some updated local market cattle prices tomorrow's show, right after Lacey, from Elk City Friday and from Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction today. So when we get back, I have a really interesting story that of all places I found in the USA Today news network about food prices, worker shortage, all kinds of supply chain and extreme weather and more to talk to you guys about. It's just going to give you an overall idea of what is really happening out there. It's It's a great story. It's not a cool story, but it's a great story. But anyway, you're listening to Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
We had commercial cattle, and as a commercial producer, you're always looking for a place to buy bulls that are going to work well for your program. And as we struggled to do that, we decided to raise our own. And so we started producing the traits that we were looking for to buy in bulls. Lori White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Benji White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. On Facebook, follow us at B&L Red Angus.
We learned in grade school 1 plus 1 equals 2 and 2 plus 2 equals 4. So what does quality feed equal? Results you can be proud of. It's simple math with a little common sense. Barnes Feed Service in Hobart, Oklahoma has done the math and mixed years of common sense into their feeds so you'll get the results you deserve. And remember, their name ends with service, something they take pride in every day. See their ads in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at lmaauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
Every trust is a little bit different. Some of them, those assets may need to grow because they've got to take care of somebody for a lot of years. Sometimes those assets need to maintain, or they need to just support a certain lifestyle. There's lots of different objectives for trusts, and what we do is we determine what the objective is for each trust, and then we do our very best to manage the assets in that trust to achieve that objective. I'm Nan Shiblum, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust in Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right, I am back, and I have a few things to talk to you guys about before we get into this one report that I'm ambitiously waiting to get into. But I got a few public announcements I need to make real quick. This one's from Jimbo Edwards over at Sayre. And he's wanting to, he said, okay, all my Western Oklahoma family of friends, we are in Sayre with the J&J Barbecue and Catering Wagon. And we're going to pull off a short notice benefit for our brother, Jason York, that is fighting cancer. We plan on setting up at the Sayre City Park at 11 o'clock this Wednesday. We will be selling plates of smoked brisket, or smoked sausage, or both, mustard potato salad, and smoked baked beans. That sounds pretty good. So everybody come out to the Sayre Park this Wednesday, October 6th at 11 a.m., and support Jason York and his journey to fight this cancer. So that sounds like good food. So everybody just, all the proceeds will go to Jason for medical expenses, motels, gas, and the whole work. So if you will, go out to the Sayre City Park Wednesday and show your support for Jason York and his battle to fight cancer. And one other little update. Stockman's Vet Clinic will have its open house October 16th from 11 to 2. And go meet Dr. Taylor Mouse. There will be food. And just go meet her and her staff and check out the new facilities. And it's a good time. She's a good person. I met her. Her mom runs the front. You get to go in there and meet Christy. And they've done some preg checking for me out here west of Elk City. did a great job. She's got a great crew, well-organized, and she's very highly intelligent and knows what's going on. So I'm excited that she's in town. And so anyway, that's a couple of the notices I wanted to put out there, and I'll put out it again a couple more times this week. Well, here's my report that I'm itching to read. Also, I got a couple of texts in on the text line. If you got anything you want to tell me about, if there's something you want to hear about on the show and it's decent, and you just text it into the KCO Ag text line at 580-225-9697. And I'll check it out. Do it during the show because I don't look at the text line after I leave. Down at El Dorado, what did he? Oh, he said they got 2 to 4 inches at El Dorado. And that's from McGee down there. And appreciate that text in. And then I got some smart guy text in from, I'm going to say, the Beckham County area, because I think he's the only one I know that loves the color red. So not the color purple, but the color red. I think he's part of the Crimson game out of California. But anyway, he just sent me a video. And, oh, dang, was there some red in that video? Thanks, Bill Dance. I appreciate it. Hey, speaking of Bill Dance, had a good birthday party on the Carter side of the river Friday night. It was for Coulter Vault. He turned a big 4-0. And what an awesome party that was. There was a lot of people there. Brian, Amy, Sandra, Bandy. I can't name all the Britons that I seen there. There's lots of Britons there. Breezes there. Seen Rusty. He's still talking about the corn that I gave him the seed for last summer. And so it was a great birthday party, and happy birthday. Oh, and I gotta mention her name because I messed it up a couple weeks ago because I thought Coulter said that Brian and him cooked me steaks when I had the COVID there a couple weeks or 3 weeks ago. Well, it wasn't Brian, and I knew he wasn't that nice a guy, but his daughter, Bree, it was Bree and Coulter that brought me the steaks for Sandy and I when we were sick as a dog with the COVID. So anyway, I want to correct that today because Bree is probably one of my number one listeners. She listens to everything. So anyway, thank you, Bree, for the steaks from 3 weeks ago, and happy birthday, Culture Vault. Good to see your dad there. And so anyway, it was all good. But food prices are climbing amid worker shortages, supply chain problems, extreme weather, and more. If you're feeling a little lighter every time you leave the supermarket, it's not your low-calorie grocery basket. It's your wallet. Grocery shopping has gotten more expensive. In August, grocery store prices creeped up another 0.04%, leaving them 3% above their level a year ago and 7.6% higher than they were 2 years ago, before the COVID-19 pandemic upended the U.S. economy. Staples such as beef, pork, fish, eggs have notched double-digit increases just in the last 12 months. Overall, we're getting less for the dollars we spend. The broader consumer price index was up 5.2% annually, but just 6.5% over the past 2 years. Labor Department figures shows as the nation continues to endure its most severe bout of inflation in more than a decade. The price of groceries isn't necessarily the most obvious culprit. Hotel rates, airline fares, used car prices have climbed more sharply as the nation emerges from the health crisis and the economy reopens. But food costs have hit many Americans harder. Bought chicken in the last decade? You might get money back in a class action lawsuit for high prices. Had to claim. I think that was part of I don't know why they had that in there. But we can choose to fly or not. We can stay in different hotels. We can buy a different car. But we can't choose not to eat. says Phil Lambert, a food analyst and founder of supermarketguru.com. We have a different relationship with food than we do with anything else we spend our money on. There are myriad reasons for higher grocery bills, including the same labor shortages, supply chain bottlenecks, and strong consumer demand that have driven up the cost of other goods and services. Tossing the wild cards plague in the food industry. Extreme weather, particularly heat and drought, that has curtailed crop yields, a surge in exports, COVID outbreaks at the meat packing plants, volatile consumer eating patterns amidst the ups and downs of the health crisis. Lambert said it's about climate change, transportation, and labor. There are still fewer factory, warehouse, and port workers as parents care for distant learning children or stay home because of COVID fears. Fuel costs have soared. More than 60 container ships are stuck in the waters near the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach waiting to unload cargo. The cost to lease a shipping container for a delivery from China has increased nearly tenfold to $20,000 per container. Such transportation delays are a bigger toll on the production of canned and processed foods from with many other ingredients. The timetable to deliver an ingredient to a factory on average increased from about 4 weeks to as much as 8 to 12 weeks. Practice lead, says Rifle Hughes, practice lead for strategy and innovation for JPG Resources, a food consulting company. All it takes is any one item to topple the house of cards, he said. To cut down on potential delays, Costco has chartered 3 ocean vessels for next year to transport containers between Asia and the United States and Canada and lease thousands of containers on these ships. Well, the February winter storm in Texas compounded the troubles by knocking out plants that made polyethylene, which goes into food packaging material. All of this colliding with strong demand from consumers, many of whom are eager to spend their cash from the government's stimulus checks and hunkering down last year. But consumer prices have become less predictable. Typically, Americans spend 52% of their food dollar at restaurants and 48% at the grocery stores, says Rick Shan. He's the president of Shan Food Consultants. During the height of the pandemic last year, 80% of their budget went to groceries. As vaccinations picked up this year, the mix evened out, he said, but COVID spikes due to the Delta variant have meant another swing to food at home. Such ups and downs makes it difficult for manufacturers to plan for production and deliveries. Well, we'll move on to some numbers. My favorite part. I love numbers. Early in the pandemic, Americans were more concerned about being able to find food than rising prices. According to surveys by the Food Marketing Institute, in March of 2020, 62% of the shoppers polled said they were concerned about finding food versus 35% being concerned over prices. In August, 50% said they were concerned over prices versus 46% that was worried about being able to find food. And according to the FMI surveys, despite the increase in the price of groceries, the average household is spending has held steady at $143 a week, which is down from $161 a week during the pandemic. Well, here's some of the grocery items that I wanted to talk to you about. Ground beef. Prices are up 6.9% from a year ago, 17.6% in the last past 2 years. Beef prices shot up in 2020 when meat packing plants shut down after there were widespread COVID outbreaks. While the outbreaks have eased, the facilities are imposing social distancing requirements that have slowed production. Meanwhile, labor shortages more generally have pushed up employee wages from about $16 an hour to $25 an hour in some cases. All right, here we go to pork products. Bacon. Prices up 17% from a year ago, 21.2% from the past 2 years. Like beef, pork production has been socked with COVID outbreaks and social distancing. Chicken prices up 7.2% from a year ago, 13.9% out of the past 2 years. And like beef and pork, chicken has suffered from COVID-related labor shortages and production problems. Those combined with a low hatch rate have left output by just a half a percentage point this year, nudging prices higher. A 40 to 50% rise in the price of corn and soybeans used to feed chicken, largely because of strong exports, has further lifted retail costs, he said. Eggs, this is Bill Dance's favorite. Eggs, prices up 9.9% from a year ago, 17.7% from the past 2 years. High feed costs have led farmers to thin their hen flocks, Jones says, but he also said the industry has been moving to more cage-free hens, which are more expensive. Fresh food and seafood, prices up 10.6%, 13.8% from the past 2 years. Breakfast cereal, here's Bandy Silk's favorite, prices up 3.6% from a year ago, 4.2% from the past 2 years. Wheat prices have spiked because of the drought in the West and the upper Midwest, while corn prices have surged because of healthy exports and a drought in Brazil. So that's one of the reasons why breakfast cereal has gone up a little bit. Americans craving comfort food. Cereal, snacks, baked goods were flying off the shelves. General Mills warned of price increases last week, and they're saying it again today. Our prices are going to be going up for the remainder of the year as we see inflation going out. Jeff Seaman, Vice President of Investor Relations, said during a call, we foresee labor challenges persisting for quite a while, especially as you look at the logistics. There's a shortage of truck drivers here in the United States. Let's get to make this a little bit quicker. Whole milk. Up 2.9% from a year ago, 12.1% from the past 2 years. In the early days of the pandemic, dairy farmers dumped excess raw milk. Also, farmers thinned their dairy herds when feed prices rose. Milk prices started increasing before the pandemic and are up nearly 14% from January of 2019. He expects the supply snarls and higher prices extend well into next year. He's saying it's going to last for a while, and I believe it, because even though our wheat prices are going up, our fuel prices, our fertilizer, equipment, everything's double, triple, quadruple. So anyway, that deal on the beef just gets back to my point that I've been giving to you guys here lately. Buy beef from a local farmer and rancher, get it processed local. You're going to save 10, 15%, maybe up to 20%, depends on what you do with your beef when you get it butchered. But you also don't have to pay sales tax on that beef when you get it processed. So you're saving some money. And I know it takes money to fill up a freezer, but just buy a quarter. You don't have to have a half or a whole. Just buy a quarter at a time. By a whole, it doesn't matter. You're going to save money, and it helps our economy around here, and we don't have to worry about the big boy stuff. Well, you've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. I'll be right back after this.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, September 24th. 1,915 head were sold. 15 head of steers at 396 brought 185. 3 at 471 brought 168. 7 at 512 brought 164. 4 at 553 brought 135. 11 at 641 brought 124. 13 at 817 brought 125. 11 head of heifers at 387 brought 142. 10 at 532 brought 135.50. 5 at 604 brought 122. 12 at 652 brought 130. 22 at 782 brought 130. 11 at 960 brought 126. Butcher cows were 16 to 77. Bred cows 310 to 1110. Butcher bulls 60 to 90. Pairs brought 1200 to 1310. Elk City Livestock Auction, South Highway 6 in Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of a curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I'm here. I'm back. I think I said Friday night on Coulter's birthday. It was Saturday night. I'm sorry for that. But anyway, it was Saturday night that was Coulter's birthday, and he was hiding from people, too. He knew something was up because it was supposed to be a surprise birthday party, but it didn't work out that way. But anyway, he made it to the party. Well, here's for some of my friends out here in the Texas Panhandle. Most Texas cattle producers experience cooler, wetter summer conditions than normal, but weather has turned drier over the last month. With some rain that we've got here in the previous last 4 or 5 days. Prices on most cattle classes have also been higher over the course of 2021 than in the previous years. People from out there at the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service has said that growing conditions on pasture and cattle was very similar in the respective regions, but that producers should be planning for a drier winter after weather took a turn for the better this summer. Cattle forage conditions across the Texas Panhandle. To the north, overall cattle and grazing conditions were relatively good. Forage grasses were slow growing for the most part as the conditions turned drier, but grazing is good. The question is for how long. I did notice this rain that we got. Them dry pastures are greening up a little bit, but I don't know that they're going to grow much. But it looks prettier green anyway. Much of the Panhandle and Texas Plain received some much-needed rainfall earlier in the summer and experienced tolerable temperatures, he said. The weather is cooling down, but like most of the state, conditions have again turned dry. And, yep, we got some rain last week, but that's not enough to make it up. Notice the North Fork of the Red River running out from the Texas Panhandle was just basically dry, because behind my house it's just a stream. It's not very big, but at least it's running. And, of course, there's no water running into my favorite subject at Lugard Lake. It's at 16.6% full. They're not, the irrigation district has shut her down. No more water coming out of there as far as I know. I haven't been told any otherwise. But anyway, when I was between Lone Wolf and Granite the other day, I couldn't see water from the highway on the river bridge. So it's pretty bad, pretty low. We need a big hurricane to hit Corpus or Houston and a circle. What's that lady from Joe Biden's, his press secretary? It needs to circle back out there in West Texas and come right through Western Oklahoma. So we'll circle back to that. How's that? He said despite pasture and rangelands conditions being better than last September, stocking rates should reflect their available forage and hay stores with the expectation of drier conditions. Rain is in the forecast, which could help winter wheat pastures establish, and they are establishing and looking good right now. But producers should avoid overgrazing. Drought in the past has conditioned most experienced ranchers to plan for short moisture, but said Smith said there's always a temptation to add cattle when forages are plentiful. Making value-based supplemental feeding decisions is important for the year. Well, available surface water is hit and miss around the panhandle. Most creeks are dry, and some playa lakes that typically hold water as well are dry, while others have been replenished by scattered rainfall. Justin Beneventes, I know I said that right, so I'm not even going to repeat it. He's an AgriLife Extension economist out of Amarillo, said price outlooks were favorable for producers. Prices on most classifications were higher and were expected to stay relatively strong this point in the cattle cycle. The overall U.S. herd is shrinking due to severe drought in the West and the Northwest states, but not as significantly as it was in 2011 when Texas and Oklahoma producers were forced to thin herd and liquidate. But the overall herd reduction will ripple into the market for at least the next two calving cycles. Every cull cow removed from the herd is not going to produce a calf during the upcoming year, so we've lost a year's worth of new slaughter and breeding cattle due to the liquidation in states dealing with severe drought. This will likely affect prices into next year and possibly beyond. So anyway, that's for my friends out there in the Texas Panhandle. When I come back, we'll have the Homer Farm and Garden Long Ranger. You're listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, September the 28th. We sold 580 cows, bulls, and kids. Thursday, September the 30th, we sold 3,185 kids and feeders for a total of 3,765 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows ranked 72 up to 79.50, with their thin cows bringing 44 to 61.50. Bulls ranked 79 to 94. 2 to 5 year old bred cows brought 1,000 up to 1460, with their 6 to 8 year old bred cows 750 to 1,000. 5 to 8 year old pairs 1250 to 1350. Under steer cattle, 3 to 350 weight steers 185 to $2. 4 to 450, 150 to 165. 5 to 550, 152 to 166.5. 6 to 650 off the cow, 124 to 142. With the long wean, 6 to 650 steers, 138 to 151. 7 to 750, 125.5 to 135. 8 to 850, 148 to 158. 9 to 950, 134 to 154. 1,050 to 1,100 pound steers, 130 to 25 to 131.75. We sold 72 in one bunch, weighing 902, bring 158. We sold 64 steers in another bunch, weighing 1,083, bring 130.25. We sold 76 in another bunch, weighing 949, bring 151.75. Pays to take your feeders to a sale that works 100% for the seller, but also one that has 14 to 15 feeder bars. We climbed a dime and a quarter at a time, making that guy $5 a hundred. Hunter heifers, 4 to 450 heifers, 137 to 146, 5 to 550, 132 to 136, 6 to 650, 124 to 133.5, 7 to 750, 126 to 146.50, 8 to 850, 131 up to 141, with our 9 to 950 heifers, 113 to 115. Again, we sold 3,185 calves and feeders, finished the sale at 2 p.m. We work 100% for the seller, never lying to the buyer. For this Tuesday, October the 5th, we will have 35 bred cows at complete dispersal, 3 to 5 years old. Another 50 bred cows and pairs. More by sale time. We'll see you this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp. Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Hi, I'm James with Western Equipment. Listen up, any high school junior and senior, and any parent or grandparent of any high school junior or senior. By your junior and senior year, it's time to start planning for a job. Right now, if you don't know what you want to do, check out the John Deere AgTech program through Western Equipment. It's a two-year program, and afterwards, we guarantee you a solid job at one of our 21 locations in Texas, Oklahoma, or New Mexico. Now is the time. Visit west-equip.com/careers for more information to apply.
It's so convenient for farmers and ranchers to get what you need in one place. The Wheeler General Store is the do-it-best hardware store that carries vet supplies to doctor your animals, high-pro feed, also master hand milling and smart lick tubs. Delivery is available if you need it.
And at Wheeler Ag, right there on site, they've got dry fertilizer application with blending capabilities. Wheeler General Store and Wheeler Ag on Highway 152, a mile east of the four-way stop in Wheeler, Texas.
You can also find the Wheeler General Store on Facebook and Instagram.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right, here we go. I got the weather forecast, but before I do the weather forecast, I want all you farmers' wives to get your pencil and pen ready, because I'm going to get ready to, I'm going to be like Dr. Phil today. I'm going to get find you guys a place where your husbands will take you in January for a vacation, and you're going to be staying on a river. So get your pencil and pen ready and write all this information down for them. Or if you don't get it wrote down, you know, you can always go to kcofm.com, click on the on-air shows, click on Today in Ag, and all my shows will be on there, and you can listen to the last part of the show or the whole show and write this all this information down, because you're going to want to go on this three-day outlook. So the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger is, presently it's 82 degrees with a heat index of 81 right now. The Nathan Brewer deep dew point is 54. The winds are out of the southeast at 8 mile an hour, gusting up to 12 miles an hour. Today, a high of 87. Low tonight, 56. Tomorrow, 81. Wednesday, 80. Thursday, 87. And Friday, 92 degrees. And it looks like she is going to be windy next, coming in next Thursday night, and Friday she's going to warm back up, but I think it's pretty short-lived. So it looks like a great week for digging peanuts, defoliating the cotton, and watching your wheat pasture grow if you ain't got it planted yet. So coming up this January, the 4th through the 6th, is the 2022 Beltwide Cotton Conference at the Marriott River Center Hotel in San Diego, Texas. They're going to be offering attendees timely updates on the latest research, technology, and issues affecting the U.S. cotton production and processing. This thing is coordinated by the National Cotton Council, and it annually brings together university and USDA researchers, regulatory agencies, extension personnel, agents, consultants, and industry sales support personnel to exchange information about new products and production processing systems that can be tailored to the individual farming operations. So these registration costs, hey, housewives, it's cheap. $200 for the NCC Cotton Foundation members and university and USDA researchers. $500 for non-U.S. research extension associations and consultants. And $400 for non-NCC and foundation members, and $80 for students. So while your hubby, or maybe even the wife, go to the production deal, you guys can also go back to shopping. You can go shopping while he's in there listening about all the new stuff with the Cotton Council. The National Cotton Council is a really good council. Got in touch with them the other day, and we're going to have some more weekly reports from them. This wasn't one of them. I just seen this, and I know wives are, after Christmas, they're just ready to get the heck out of the house and go. So anyway, that'd be a good time for you guys to go. Well, I got a deal from, it appears that the Deere and Company has dodged a potential disrupting labor strike at a time when all hands on deck are needed to build machinery to grow in demand. That's a good thing because parts, no matter what equipment you're using right now, things are hard to come by and we don't need any more disruption. The COVID was enough. But Brad Morris of the Deere and Company released a statement. After 6 weeks of negotiations, John Deere and the UAW have reached a tentative agreement that honors the enormous contributions of John Deere's production and maintenance employees and builds a strong foundation for our shared cost success in the future. Through this agreement, John Deere reinforces our long-standing commitment to provide employees the opportunity to earn the best wages and the most comprehensive benefits in agriculture and construction industries. The UAW International President Ray Curry announced that our UAW John Deere National Bargaining Team worked tirelessly to create gains for their members. The UAW did not release details on the agreement and won't do so until a UAW members meeting at Deere manufacturers' locations have reviewed all these terms on October the 10th. The labor agreement impacts 10,100 employees at 12 Deere and Company facilities. Shortage of steels, computer chips, tires, and a variety of parts has just stymied the machinery manufacturers from meeting orders for new machinery, which have just been not great since last winter. It's not unusual for farmers to have to wait 6 months or longer to get a new tractor, combine, or planter. And I got a buddy that he said it's going to be longer than 6 months for his new tractor. Supplies of the late model machineries are slim at best, so a strike right now could have been disastrous for farmers wanting to upgrade their equipment technologies. So it's been over 30 years since the Deere's last strike, and lasting 5 months. That labor dispute cost the company around $100 million, which that would have probably been in the billions if you compared it to today. Well, hope I can say some of these words right, so get ready. Cyanogenic compounds in sorghum species can be brought to life by a killing frost. And I wanted you guys to know this because we got frost coming up here in probably the next month, 60 days anyway. These compounds heighten the risk of prussic acid poisoning, and livestock will suffer the consequences if affected forages aren't managed correctly. Lena with the Penn State Extension explains that cyanogenic compounds are usually found in non-toxic forms and are bound in plant tissues for most of the year. A cold weather spike can release these compounds, and when a killing frost ruptures plant tissues, prussic acid forms. Sorghum, Johnson grass, and shatter cane contain the greatest levels of prussic acid and can still be hazardous as weeds and pure stands. Sudan grass contains approximately 40% less prussic acid than other sorghums. However, sorghum Sudan grass hybrids contain greater levels of toxic compound than Sudan grass alone. Ruminant animals are more susceptible to in the effects of prussic acid than in their counterparts. Cattle can consume large amounts of forage, and the release of cyanide might be expected by the microbes in the rumens. Man, I'm glad they didn't have organisms after that because my text line would have blew up. Cyanide interferes with oxygen-carrying function in the blood, resulting in the animal hyperlaxation. A concentration of more than 0.1% of greater or dry tissues considered dangerous can kill livestock. And if you've never been around that, I've been around that livestock poisoning. We were moving some cattle. It's been a long time ago, but we were moving cattle down the road. And my boss, he was leading with the lead truck with the cake. And we was bringing up the back with the four-wheelers. And he said, don't let them stop for nothing. And we were just moving them down the county road from one place to the other. And that cow grabbed that Johnson grass at a full run, a mouthful, and didn't make it 10 steps, and she was laid over. So you guys be aware of that with your frost coming up. Keep an eye on stuff in your pasture where you've had Sudan or sorghum. I just wanted to give that out there to you. Well, it's been a great weekend. It was a great weekend. It was a good start today. I want everybody to have a safe rest of the day. Good day and God bless. You're listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Hello. Here's a station you might like.
This is KECO Elk City.
Facebook facing more questions from Congress. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News. Bipartisan demands for answers over teen safety concerns. Massachusetts Democratic Senator Ed Markey citing research that appears to contradict what one Facebook executive told Congress just last week about not allowing any tobacco ads or weight loss ads to users under age 18. Tennessee Republican Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn tells Fox News,
when you're on Facebook, you are the product because they own your data. And they are building a virtual